I recently received a rather official-looking letter in the mail, and I opened it up, and the words began by saying, "You are among a small number of people who have been chosen." And I thought, this sounds pretty good. And I read on, and I found out I had been chosen at random to participate in the Wayne County Opinion Survey, which wasn't quite as elite or exclusive as it seemed at first. And sometimes we think about that kind of an idea that somehow I have been chosen to be part of something. I'm a select member. One of the organizations I always think of that I think many people view as kind of an elite club is the Mensa Society. You might be familiar with them. In order to join, you have to have a certain score on IQ tests, passing an approved intelligence test, and you have to attain a score within the upper 2% of the general population. And so if you are a member of Mensa, you could take pride in the fact that you are smarter than 98% of people in this world. But I discovered that Mensa is not the most exclusive club that deals with high IQ. There actually is the Giga Society. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Giga Society before. They say that unlike other groups that emphasize high IQ that, in their words, slightly resemble cults of megalomania and narcissism. For the Giga Society, it is open to anyone who outscores 99.999999% of the adult population on one of the accepted IQ tests, which if you're quick in your math, you would realize that's one in a billion. Now, there's about 8 billion people in the world. So if you do your math, how many people could be in this society? Right. So that'd be a pretty exclusive society. If you remember the Giga Society, you were certainly the cream of the crop. Now, at the end of our service, we're going to have people who have expressed a desire to join Intercity Baptist Church and to be members of Intercity Baptist Church. And so what kind of group is Intercity Baptist Church? What does it mean to be a member of this church? Is that something that's special and exclusive? Does it offer you prestige and honor? Or is it perhaps like being a member of the Waffle House Regulars Club, which I believe the requirements are you have to be able to eat and have a pulse, and those are both negotiable. So what does it mean to be a member of Intercity Baptist Church? What are the members of Intercity Baptist Church like? And to answer that question, I want to look at a passage in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, John talks about the realities and truths of those who are part of God's church. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, and we'll really see three characteristics or three truths about members of Intercity Baptist Church. And the first is that we are described as those who have been loved by God. 1 John 3 and verse 1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us because it did not know Him." He begins really with a command. See, behold, stop and consider. Think about something. What are you to think about? How great a love. What sort of love, what kind of love that the Father has bestowed or lavished upon us. A love that is foreign in many ways to this world. When it says how great a love, that's really the idea. It's what sort of love is this? What kind of love is this that the Father has bestowed on us? And how is that expressed? That we should be called children of God. That God has expressed His love, He has bestowed and lavished His love on us, and that we are called God's children. And why is this love so great? Why is this love so amazing? It's amazing in part because of who we were before we were called children of God. That we were God's enemies. We were people who hated God. We were spiritual beggars, and we had nothing to offer God. And yet now, we're called His children. This is the greatest pauper to prince kind of story you could ever have. Someone who's a beggar, someone who has no claim to royalty, no claim to the niceties and the comforts of royal life. And now we're part of God's family. We are children of God. Consider this incredible love. And John goes on to say, this isn't just what we're called. This is a reality. Look at what he says. And such we are. Can you believe it? God doesn't just call us his children. We actually are his children. And I think the emphasis that John gives here is actually less on a truth in Scripture that is something that does happen in salvation, that we are adopted into his family. I think his emphasis here in calling us children of God is that we are actually born into his family. And I say that in part because what he says at the very end of chapter 2, look at verse 29 of chapter 2. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who also practices righteousness is born of him. So I think when he's talking about the fact that we are children of God, he's referring to the truth that we have been born of God, that we now have new life in Jesus Christ. As we think about salvation, really there's two blessings that flow out of God's work of salvation. The first blessing is justification. That's a blessing in which God takes our sin and puts it on Jesus Christ. And he takes his righteousness and gives it to us so that now we no longer face the penalty and punishment for sin, but we are declared righteous and now are free from the guilt of sin. But there's a second benefit that God does for us in salvation, and that's that he gives us new life. That's regeneration. That's the truth in which we are born again. And that now we are freed from the power of sin so that we can begin to live for Christ and to follow him. And John says, this is what God did for us. God showed his incredible love to us in making us his children. And this is our reality. Such we are. And so what does it mean to be a member of Inner City Baptist Church? It means that you have experienced God's love in giving you new life through Jesus Christ, and you are now his sons and daughters. We are the children of God. What an exclusive, privileged club. There is no greater calling. And so certainly this gives quite a bit of prestige in our world, doesn't it? And the answer is not at all. That's what John goes on to say at the very end of verse 1. For this reason, the world does not know us. Now, there's some debate about exactly what he means when he says this reason. Is he getting ready to point to what he says at the end of the verse? Or is he talking about what he just said? And I think he's referring back to what he just said, that we're now children of God. And because we are children of God, the world doesn't know us. The world doesn't understand us. We don't make sense to those who are not children of God, which is a good reminder for us that we don't say, hey, we're all God's children. And the answer is, well, maybe in one sense that's true, but really, the way the Bible tends to talk about it, that's not true. Only some people are children of God. There's other people, and they're described as the world. They're described as those who are still hostile to God, still at enmity with God. And the world does not know or understand us, which shouldn't surprise us because it did not know him. And in some ways, as you think about, maybe you have certain values, certain traditions, certain phrases or actions that you do in your family. And if other people see what you do and see how you behave, they're like, what's going on? You have to say, well, if you'd understand if you were part of our family. It doesn't really make sense because you're not one of us. And in some ways, John's saying the world isn't one of us, and so we don't make sense to the world. It doesn't know us. It doesn't understand us because it never understood Jesus. Jesus came to his own, yet his own did not receive him and welcome him. And Jesus pointed this out to his disciples when he walked on this earth. In John 15, verses 18 and 19, he said, if the world hates you, you know it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. but because you're not of the world. But I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. Because we're now children of God, it doesn't actually make sense to the world what we do and how we live. And yes, we might think the world should think highly of us, but the world does not. I always find it fascinating when you read about a semi-celebrity who gets in trouble with the law, and often in some type of drunken or drug-induced stupor, they start saying, "Do you know who I am?" And the idea is, well, you would be treating me differently if you really understood who I was. Now, I hope we don't actually take that mindset, but really, as Christians, we can say, "Do you know who I am?" The answer is, no, you don't. You don't really realize who we are. Doesn't make sense. You look at us and you wouldn't think, hey, this is a special group. But we're children of God. The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't understand that because the world doesn't know and understand Him. And yet, we have received this love as God's people. God has lavished His love on the members of Inner City Baptist Church, and that He has made us His children. And yes, right now, we don't see all the benefits of that reality. And John goes on to say, but the best is still to come. In verse 2, a second truth about those who are members of God's body. Beloved, now we are children of God. Beloved there, I think, is a reference John uses over and over again in this book, because he points out, you've been loved by God, and as God's children, we love each other. I love you because you're God's children. And you love each other because you are God's children. And yet he goes on to talk about the reality now. Now this is true. We are children of God right now. We're not waiting for that reality. But we are waiting for something else. And he goes on to say, it has not appeared as yet what we will be. In a sense, we don't know all the details of our glorious future. It's going to be far better than we could ever imagine. We don't know all the ins and outs of what it will be like. But John goes on to say we do know something. What do we know? Well, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. We know one day we will be like Jesus. I think it's important that John says we'll be like Jesus, because it's not as though we'll be equal to Him. We won't become gods. The fact that we're God's children doesn't mean that we're little gods now. But it does mean that we will have similarities to Jesus Christ. That we will reflect the reality of who He is. We will resemble His character, and we will share in His resurrection body. And when will this happen? When He appears. Right now, yes, we have been saved from the penalty of sin and justification. And we have been freed from the power of sin and regeneration. And one day, we'll be free from the presence of sin and glorification. When Jesus Christ appears, then we will be like Him. And it's interesting, at the very end, he says, because we will see Him just as He is. And I confess, I struggle with exactly what John means here. And I think there's two possible explanations for what he's saying. What's the connection between us being like Jesus because we will see Him as He is? And one is, the only way we will ever see Jesus is if we're like Him. As Jesus says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And so only those who are like Jesus, only those who are pure, only those who are holy could ever see God. And so John could be saying, we know we're going to see Him. We are going to see Him just as He is. And that means we're going to be like Him. But it could be that in some way, we become like Him because we are seeing Him. And I think there might be some truth to that reality. And if I can say that, it's because Paul, in 2 Corinthians 3, talks about the fact that right now we are becoming more and more like Jesus as we behold him. In 2 Corinthians 3, in verse 18, he says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." And if I can say it this way, and since what's happening is we're looking at the mirror of God's Word, and we're seeing the glory of the Lord reflected in this. And as that's happening, we are being transformed. But one day, we're not going to be looking in the mirror. We're going to see Him just as He is. And potentially, in some way, because we are actually now beholding Him that way, that will be one way in which God transforms us so that we are then like Jesus Christ. So who are we as members of Inner City Baptist Church? We're those who have received God's love lavished upon us in making us His children, giving us new life in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are those who have a glorious hope, a hope that one day we will see Jesus and we will be like Jesus. But there's a third truth. There's a third reality for all those who are members of Christ's body. And that's found in verse 3. "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him." Now notice, through all of this, this has been everyone's the same all the way through. So verse 1, God showed His love on us and that we are children of God. And verse 2, now we are children of God. And yet one day we're going to be like Jesus because we'll see Him as He is. And verse 3, everyone who has this hope. So all the people who are children of God, they have this hope. And all of those people do something. Now this hope is described as being fixed on Him if you're looking at the NASB. Other translations talk about having this hope in yourself, potentially. And that's because the language could be understood in two different ways. It could be saying, this is my hope. Everyone who has this hope in themselves. But I think actually the NASB is right in translating it the way they do. They actually add that idea of hope fixed on Him. Because I think the focus is not on me, but actually on Jesus. And what Jesus is, and who He is, and what He has done. And as a reminder, as we look at Scripture, whenever we see hope being described, it's not wishful thinking. It's not, I hope the Lions win the Super Bowl next year. The idea that, something that's possible, but unlikely. It's actually a confident expectation. And we know that in part because of what He described in verse 2. We know this. It's not we kind of wish it would happen, but we know this is going to be true. And so this is our hope. This is our confident expectation, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. We have this hope. And what is this hope? Well, it's our hope that He's going to come and we will see Him as He is and we will be like Him. And so we have this hope fixed on Jesus. What do we do? Well, again, just a reminder, everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself. Everyone does this. There are no exceptions. You don't have some people who have been made children of God and who have a hope that one day they will see Jesus and be like Him because they will see Him as He is. And they don't now purify themselves. There's no one like that. Everyone who's been made a child of God, everyone has a hope that one day they will see Jesus and they will be like Him. Right now, they work to purify themselves. Which means, if you are not now working to purify yourself, then that might be evidence that you don't have this hope. And if you don't have this hope, then you are not God's child. You've not experienced His love in giving you new life. And yet, if you are a member of Inner City Baptist Church, the expectation is this is true of you. You have been given new life. As you have experienced God's love in causing you to be born again to a living hope. And therefore, you have this hope. and therefore you are now focused on seeking to become like Jesus now. That we are called currently, presently, to actively purify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves. The focus here is on moral purity, seeking to remove all sin, everything that is against God and His will. We want it out of our lives, and we are active in this process. It doesn't say everyone has this hope is asking God to do this work. Now, God is working in us. God is working to purify us. Earlier in 1 John chapter 1, he says that as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us from all sin. And this is happening as we are confessing our sins, not claiming we have no sin, but confessing our sins. And God is being faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so God is at work in us to make us pure, to make us holy, to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ. But we are actively pursuing this goal. And this is central to what it means to be a member of Inner City Baptist Church. What is our mission statement as a church? That we as a church exist to glorify God by making and maturing disciples who are together becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. That one of the reasons you have people who follow the Lord in believers' baptism as a desire to join the church, and others who have already been baptized and are coming and wanting to be a member of this church, is because we want to become more like Jesus Christ. And that will happen in and through this church. That the relationships that we have here is one of the ways in which God will work to purify us, to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps as you look at what we've said through this, you might be asking, why are we really so concerned with purifying ourselves right now? Why are we so focused on becoming like Jesus Christ when John already said we're going to be like Jesus Christ? It's a promise. It's guaranteed. And so why would you worry about it right now? That maybe you're thinking about this in the way that sometimes I think when you stay at a hotel room and you know someone's going to be coming in and cleaning the room. And some of us look at that and say, great, I don't have to do it now. And others say, I'm going to tidy up the room a little bit, because I don't want to be kind of ashamed that the room is a mess when someone comes in to clean it. And so is that why we like, boy, I just, you know, I maybe want to tidy up things a little bit because I don't want to get to the end and it really be that bad. Is that why we're purifying ourselves now? Is that why right now we're pursuing trying to become more like Jesus Christ? And I don't think that's at all really what's going on here. That why would we be purifying ourselves right now? Well, look again at the verse. We do this just as He is pure. That what's driving us? What's motivating us in this desire to become more like Jesus Christ? Well, what's our hope? What's our longing? What do we want to have happen? We want Jesus to come. And we want to see Jesus just as He is. And we want to be like Him. That's our hope. That's what we're looking forward to. And so why would we be pursuing that right now? Because that's what we want. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to have sin dominating my life. I don't want to have impurities in my life. I want to be like Christ. And I'm so thankful that one day I will be. One day I will be able to see Jesus just as He is, and I will be like Him. And so right now, I'm going to do everything I can to work towards that goal. I'm going to purify myself because I want to be like Jesus. And I think as well, perhaps we do it because, as I said, how can we ever see Jesus? How can we ever be with Him? And the answer is only if we are pure. And in a sense, the more that we pursue purity in this life, the more that we are seeking to become like Jesus in this life, the better we see and know him in this life. You want to know God? You want to see him? You have to pursue holiness. You have to pursue becoming like Jesus Christ. And if you are someone who has been made new, you've been born again, and you have this hope, you also understand that no one will be able to see God who has not purified himself in this life. Not perfectly. But if you're not pursuing sanctification in this life, that's evidence that you've never been born again. And so that's why the author of Hebrews can say in Hebrews 12, 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification and the holiness. If we can say it this way, and the moral purity without which no one will see the Lord. Now let's not forget the progress of time, if I can say it this way. Who is John talking about? He's not saying, pursue purity so that you might become a child of God. He's not saying, strive to become like Jesus Christ so that one day you might have a hope that you would see him. He's saying, you've already been made a child of God. You already have this hope. And as those who have already been made new, those whose sins have already been forgiven, those who already have this promise that one day they will be like Jesus Christ, these are the people who are seeking to pursue holiness, to pursue sanctification, to become more like Jesus Christ. Because who are the members of Inner City Baptist Church? We're people who have been blessed and lavished with God's love in giving us the new birth through Jesus Christ. We're people who have a glorious hope that one day we will see Jesus and we will be like him. And we're people who therefore, day by day, are seeking to become more like Jesus Christ. Because what we want more than anything else is to see him. As Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4 remind us that there's going to come a day in which there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the midst of this city, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the incredible love that you have bestowed on us. Such a great, amazing, incomprehensible love. We are the children of God. And that's what we are right now, Lord. We thank you. We are now your children. And we have a great and confident expectation that one day what we are will be made known and it will be evident because we will see Jesus just as he is and then we will be like him. And Father, I pray that as your children, as those who long to see you and to serve you, that we would strive for holiness now. Lord, we want to be a church in which we are together becoming like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for those who are joining our church that we would work together towards this goal. That this would be driving us. This would be motivating us. This would be something that anyone who knows anything about our church, that they would be able to say, that's a group that wants to become like Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.